Welcome to the Word Alive radio broadcast ministry, an outreach ministry of Kingdom Builders Christian Center, a place of love, unity, and pure worship, located in Southeast Columbia at 3100 Trotter Road, where Norman E. Curley is pastor. Now, stay tuned for the Word Alive.
God has brought us into this area of living in the arena of financial overflow. And so when we talk about money, we don't talk about money to try to make people feel like you got to do this and condemn people. We talk about money so we can have biblical insight on God's attitude toward money. So we can stop listening to the voices of the world and even the voices of the greed gospel or greed-driven preachers. Some of us have tuned into those voices by television or whatever. You're going to have to get out of that. You know, you got to get out of that thinking money is everything and, you know, thinking that money make you and all this kind of stuff. But we want to be able to listen to what God has to say relative to money. And Jesus operated with money when he was here on the earth. How many know Jesus couldn't go in the store and just take stuff and say, hey, I'm the son of God? He couldn't just walk up in the store and grab somebody bread from the marketplace and start eating it. You know, he couldn't do that. He knew that. So what I'm saying is Jesus submitted to the natural system and order that was in the universe. So when they asked him on last week, we learned, should you pay taxes to Caesar? How many know Jesus said, give Caesar what is Caesar? So what he said? Honor the government. Do the right thing as citizens of a nation. But then he added what? But also honor God as well. Give to God that which is God. So on last week, we looked at that in Mark 12, and we talked about responding to the goodness of God. There are benefits of being a citizen of America. There is also benefits of being a citizen in heaven. When you and I became a Christian, how do you know we got benefits with that? And so we need to know how to respond to the goodness of God, which is the benefits that God provides for his children. And we say in order to do that, we have to surround ourselves with people who value truth and is committed to seeking it out. The second thing, we got to choose who will we honor in the handling of our giving. And then the last thing we said, the image of my heart is the inspiration of honoring God in my giving. Jesus said, give me a coin. And he said, whose image is on this coin? And they said, Caesar. He said, give to Caesar that which is Caesar. Well, the image of God is not on our money or coin, but the image of God is on our heart because the Bible says God created man and woman, male and female, what? In his image. So where is the image of God? On my heart. And so from my heart, I need to be willing to honor God in my giving. I want to move in another area today, and I want to talk about the danger and duty of money. One person said this, money is a tool. Used properly, it makes something beautiful. Used wrong, it makes a mess. The danger and duty of money has to do more with biblical insight and instructions relative to the role money is to play in the life of those committed to God's wisdom and word, as well as the teachings that are being presented to God's people relative to our attitude and actions with money in the earth. Biblical insight, instructions, and the teaching that's coming from the pulpit is vitally important to how we relate to money, our attitude to money, and our actions with money. When the biblical insight is not rightly communicated, when the message from the pulpit is diluted with greed and covetousness, how many know now the message is of no value? And I want to say this. A lot of the messages that we hear on money that's coming out of the pulpit is diluted with greed. It's carnal. It's materially driven. Even though they throw Jesus in there, that's where the deception comes. And see, when you're bringing the truth, how many know you got to announce the error? You got to be real. That's what's happening in the body of Christ. Well, how many know it's nothing new to the Bible? Because they had the same problem taking place in the early church. So if you turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 10 and verse 17 through 19, the Apostle Paul specifically addressed what I just said, and it was in church. Paul confronts the false teachers who were given ungodly counsel and instruction to believers relative to the money and material possessions. Their teachings were deceptive because they were not in agreement with the teachings of Jesus. Their teaching was deceptive because they did not motivate godliness. And therefore, Paul writes to the church. Basically, what they taught was that the gospel was a means of getting rich. That was the underlying thing that was happening in the early church, that the gospel was a means of getting rich. Notice the first thing. There are four lessons we're going to gain through this particular text. And the first lesson is this. Money and materialism can be deceptive. In 1 Timothy 6, you notice in verse 3 that the scripture says, if anyone what? Teaches. Now, Paul said, if anyone teaches, now he is making the statement because it was being taught. So he's literally saying those who are teaching this. So if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with what? With godliness. Notice he uses the word wholesome. That's a key word there, because this word suggests that the false teachers was teaching things about money that was not wholesome, that was not sound. The reason it was not wholesome or sound, because if you look in the text, it says, because the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. What? It is not in agreement with the words of Jesus. What did Jesus say in the gospel concerning money? That's what he's talking about. Well, whatever Jesus said in the gospels about money, these teachers are not saying the same thing. What did Jesus say about money? Well, Jesus said you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and money. In other words, Jesus said that money is an idol. Jesus said what? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus said what? Because you have greed in your heart, that is why you're teaching such ways about money. Paul said the teachings is not in agreement with the gospel that Jesus taught. And get this, he also said that this teaching, now he used the word doctrine, which is teaching, is not in agreement with godliness. In other words, you're teaching people how to get rich, but they are not seeking the things of God. You're teaching people how to get rich, but there's no fruit of the Spirit coming forth in their life. Godliness. So if the fruit of the Spirit is not coming, then something else is coming. And he brings that out in the text. If the teaching does not honor the gospel of Jesus, nor promote godliness among the hearers, it is diluted and watered down, and therefore it falls in the category of false teaching. The Holy Spirit said that there were going to be things that would happen in the latter days where people are going to walk away from the faith. How many know the Holy Spirit said that? And the Holy Spirit also said that there are going to be doctrines or teachings that's going to be brought in the church that did not come from God but from the devil himself. 1 Timothy 4:1 and 2, listen to what the word of the Lord said. Now the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit there, speaketh expressly, clearly, plainly, that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to what? Seducing spirits. I want to break that down because some people, well, what's seducing spirits? Seducing spirits are spirits that come and attach themselves to our fallen nature and begin to work through our fallen nature to lead us down paths of error. I mean, no, there's a fallen nature in us. There's a sinful nature in us. There's a nature in us that, get this now, that is prone towards sin. Now, we can yield to that nature, but there's a point where you yield to that fallen nature in such a way and in such a committed way, they seducing spirits will begin to attach themselves and they will deceive you, because a seducing spirit is a spirit of deception. Seduces you, tricks you, convinces you, make you feel it's okay, make you comfortable. Then all of a sudden, a seducing spirit turns into a stronghold. Until you go when you don't want to go. Then you got to get deliverance. And then when you get deliverance, you got to want to be delivered. Because if you get delivered and you don't want to be delivered, then those seducing unclean spirits will leave for a season. Then they will say, I'm looking for dry places and I can't find none, so I'll return back to my house. But when they go back home, they don't go back home by themselves. See, I'm all in the Bible. Somebody know what I'm talking about. The Bible say they get seven more spirits stronger than them and they return home. And the latter state of that person is worse than the first. So sometimes we got to be careful. We can mess folk up by getting them delivered when they don't want to be delivered. Oh, somebody got that. What did Jesus tell the man? Do you want to be made whole? So seducing spirit. And you notice that when Paul speaks of seducing spirits, he says what? Doctrines of devil, teachings that are from the devil can invite seducing spirits. That's why when you find people that are under that greed teaching, that seducing spirit, it's almost like the whole congregation is totally convinced this is God. Everywhere they go, they want to say, I got to do this so I can get this. I got to do this so I can get this. I got to do this so I can get this. It's all getting. It's all getting. And you ask, well, what church you go to? I understand why you think like that now. Because of what? That seducing spirit came through the avenue of what? Doctrines of devils. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with the hot iron. What's that? Totally convinced up here that they are right. Listen to verse 3. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Now notice, who won't endure sound doctrine? The ones who have seducing spirits and have received that doctrines of devil. So when sound doctrine comes, they ain't going to receive it. Even now, what I'm teaching, they'll just cast it out. But if I get up here and say, money coming, and you're going to get this, and you're going to get that, oh, they're open now. Why? Because it agrees with doctrines of devil. And the spirit that has attached to their carnal nature opens them up to it. But when sound doctrine comes, they don't receive it. Why? Because they think the purpose of the gospel is to get rich. They worship the God of greed. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves what? Teachers. They're going to heap teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their eyes from the truth and shall be turned unto fable. I want us to see this because this is important when you start dealing with God's attitude toward money. Money and materialism can be deceptive. Now, Paul doesn't stop there. Paul identifies seven symptoms of deception in this text. He not only talks about money being deceptive, he identifies seven symptoms. And in verse number 4, he begins to identify them. And the first one is what? Pride. The first one is pride. He said, when you buy into this kind of doctrine, when you buy into this kind of gospel of greed, the first thing you're going to see happen is pride. And what was it that caused Satan to be kicked out of heaven? Pride. Lucifer. Pride. The Bible says pride goes before what? Destruction. A haughty spirit before a fall. So pride is the leading culprit. Pride is the first door that opened down to many rooms. The second one is conceitedness, symptoms of deception. And you find this all in the verses there. Another one is they become argumentative. Another one is they cause confusion. Envy and friction. They are quarrelsome. And last, they use spiritual things for financial gain. That's why in the body of Christ, you saw people paying for the anointing. Now, they didn't pay for it because somebody said, now, if you want to get this anointing, bring down $100, $50. They didn't do it like that. It's very deceptive. They used the scriptures, but basically, that's what people were responding to. I want that anointing. I want to tap into that anointing. So what do? I get money to get the anointing. The anointing does not come through money. It comes through meditation and prayer and intercession. It comes to being at the feet of Jesus. It's come to laying down your life and seeking the face of God. And God is the one who smears the oil on your life. People can lay hands on you all day. If the anointing has not already come upon you, they're not confirming nothing. David was anointed by Samuel in the natural, but he was God's anointing before God told Samuel to touch him. Samuel touched those other boys. They were not the anointed one. It was David that God had called, and David hadn't accomplished anything great to have the anointing. He was a little shepherd boy. And God had the anointing. That's why I tell us our children should understand in your teen years, you need to start seeking God for his will for your life. You don't wait till you say, well, 25, 35, 40, say, well, I believe the Lord want me to. No, God, I mean, there are teenagers now that God has called into ministry. I believe there are teenagers in our church. I believe there are young men and women in our church that God has called into ministry. They need to hear it. They need to start praying for it. Their parents need to start praying and talking to them. Maybe God's got a call on your life. Maybe God's calling you into ministry. Maybe you need to start considering going to school and doing this. You don't know. It's good to have the conversation. It's good to be talking to them about it. They come to you and ask you a certain question about the Bible, and how many know that could be God speaking to them? They start telling you about dreams they're having. Listen to them. God can be speaking to them now for what he wants them to do later. So verse 4 says, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, rivaling, envy, suspiciousness, useless wrangling of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that what? Godliness is what? A means of gain. That's the teaching that was going on. That's why Paul addressed it. This deception requires separation. Look what the last statement made in verse number 5. From such what? From such what? Withdraw yourself. Why? Because of the seducing spirits. See, there were times God told me personally. He said, no, stop going there. Don't go to that conference anymore. He just said, don't go. And I know what he was saying. Because you can get in those settings and you know it yourself. Those seducing spirits can have you spending money buying all kinds of stuff you packed up with material that's still sitting in your closet you ain't never opened. I'm just being honest. You buy into it. You're right there. All of a sudden, man, next thing you know, you're doing this. And then 2 days, 3 days later, why did I spend all my money up in that place? We would go to a men's conference. And all of a sudden, it got to a point where it was a commercial conference. It was a business conference. So they say, now, everybody, it's break time. And I mean, they'll give you an hour and a half lunch break. But it ain't no lunch break. You go upstairs and what? You got clothesline. Preachers got their own clothesline. Then all of a sudden you see everybody at the conference walking around looking like the preacher, the way he dressed. Walking like him, talking like him. But when your heart is right, God is not going to keep you there. God's going to be showing you the shift. And sometimes things could turn out pure and right. But when the money starts coming, it changes people. If what was maybe a spiritual purpose becomes a commercial purpose, that's a deception. So you say, well, how do you deal with it? You separate yourself. That's what Paul said, right? He said, withdraw yourself. Stop listening to it. Stop going over there. Stop doing that. Why? Because there's some seducing spirits you're dealing with. And those seducing spirits, how many know, they're very subtle. You don't know when you've been held by it or got caught in the trap or not. But when you find out, look to the next, they get out. Then they make a movie called Get Out. That's the first movie where the black people lived all the way to the end. I just had to put that in there because I thought... We thought he was going to die, but he lived to the end. Come to find out, it was a black producer that made the movie. So when we get an authority, we can determine how the end go, right? Psalm 62 and 10 says this, do not trust in extortion or take pride in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set what? Your heart on them. And you know, I thought about that. We got to be careful because we got to watch out for stolen goods. I know you done had this experience. You walking in the parking lot, somebody walk up to you, you want to buy this gold chain? No, those stolen goods. And I'm going to tell you, you got to be careful because some of those guys are already under surveillance. Police are already on their trail. And when they start looking for the little chips on the trail, they find your house. I'm just being honest. We got to be careful. Hey, man, your hookup can be a lockup. I'm just saying, we got to be careful, amen. Well, Pastor, what are you saying? I need to pray about it? No, don't do it. Don't take pride in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, how many know God can call your riches increase? Say, don't put your heart on it. Don't let it change you. Don't let it make you arrogant. I've seen people in churches, didn't have much. Get in the church, start growing in the things of God. God start blessing their business. They traveling, doing all, then they're arrogant now. Can't handle correction. Ain't got time to do nothing in the house of God. Now, why? I'm going here and I'm doing all this stuff. Better be careful. As you go up, you're going to meet a lot of people. But when you come down, a lot of people are going to see you coming. Don't let it change. Number two is this: money materialism can be a discipline. Money materialism can be discipline. Notice in verse number 6, Paul said this: now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be what? Content. Discipline of money is when it is brought under the control of faith and faithfulness to God. It's when increase is more about raising my level of giving than raising my level of living. Paul is not saying believers should not desire or request raises or seek to prosper in their business. It's the greed and erroneous teaching of money as a mark of spiritual progress that he is refuting in the church. That's what Paul is saying. Verse 6 through 8, Paul tells us exactly how we develop contentment. Because sometimes people think contentment is laziness. They think contentment is slothfulness, and they think contentment is procrastination. Those things have nothing to do with contentment. Because when you are content, how many know you're still going to succeed in life? How do I develop contentment? The first one is this in verse 6, pursue godliness. The second one is this in verse 7, prioritize life. The Bible says you brought nothing into this world. You can't take nothing out. Prioritize life. Don't let your life be consumed with whoring up things, acquiring things. Don't let things be something that make you feel good about yourself. All of a sudden you buy you a car, all of a sudden you feel kind of boastful. Your ego is in the car. When you get in the car, you feel like you're somebody. You want people to see you, so you drive this route. When you had the other car, you drove that route. I'm just showing you, those things are beginning to boast your ego. Material thing. There's nothing wrong with having nice things. There's nothing wrong with you having whatever you can afford or whatever the case, but make sure it is not internally motivating your ego. And the last one is pray for an inner satisfaction no matter what the situation is. True contentment comes from godliness in the heart, not wealth in the hand. When people die, as I said, is often asked, what did they leave? The true answer is everything. Philippians 4:11-12, listen to what Paul said. I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. The third thing is in verse 9 and 10. The Bible say, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed away from the faith in their what? Greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Number three is money and materialism can be destructive. Paul now points to the false teachers and those following their influence and message. He said, with that longing and craving to be rich will come temptation, snares of the devil, and many foolish kinds of lust, which will lead to destruction. This is a sign of the love for money that has power and potential to remove people out of the will of God and into the will of greed and sorrow. Now notice, the love of money can move you out of the will of God into the will of greed and sorrow. The last one is this: money and materialism can be a delight. Now, in verses 11 through 16, Paul specifically talked to Timothy about specific matters in his leadership and things he needs to focus on moving forward in. But in verse 17 through 19, he now targets the rich people in the church. So that suggests to me, number four, money and materialism can be a delight. You know, on one side of the picture there, you got a what? A husband and woman fighting over what? Money. The other side shows what? A husband and wife what? Delighting in their ability to save. Paul confirms that rich people do belong in the body of Christ. God is not against riches. He's against greed and false insight relative to money and gain. However, he tells the rich not to be lifted up in pride, not to trust in their riches, be kind, serve with humility, and give to God's work in proportion with your wealth, as well as give to others, and also trust God for your future here and in heaven. Because he says, command that those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, that's prideful, arrogant, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. So that means if you have riches, and if you're rich, you still have to walk by faith. You still have to operate in faith. That's why Jesus said it's difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because people that are rich, they don't operate in faith. They think their money can answer everything. But how many know they will find out that there will be a disease money can't solve. So they got to learn how to walk in faith like everybody else. So they can't trust in the, notice the Bible say uncertain riches. It didn't say riches, uncertain. What is it? Because it can change overnight. Who gives us all things to enjoy. How many know God don't mind us enjoying things? He don't mind us taking vacations. He don't mind, you know, sometimes when saints start taking vacation, going places, and folk who broke can't go sit there and talk about, look at them. They ain't got to travel like that. You would travel like that if you had the money. I'm just saying, ain't nothing wrong with going and enjoying the beautiful country, that world that God has given us, and do that. Now, if you say, well, this year, you know, we're going to Italy. Next year, we're going to this place. Next year, we're going to go over here. And then we look at your tithing record. You don't do nothing. And no, those are wrong trips. Those are wrong trips. You don't neglect God's portion and go out and start doing all this spurge. Say prioritizing. You got to prioritize. Plan. I love to see people on Facebook and husband and wife and families all visiting, going. They all laughing and taking pictures. And I mean, that's beautiful, right? Now, when y'all come home and y'all fighting and going, now that's different. Now, I mean, wait a minute. Now, y'all all this traveling and loving, then y'all fighting every day at the house. Something wrong with that. No. God wants us to enjoy things. Don't worship them. Don't make them idols. Then he said, let them do good that they may be rich in what? Good works. That means if you're rich in the church, you still need to be serving. Just because you say, well, I give and don't do nothing, you still need to be serving. Not only do you need to be serving, you need to be ready to give. Every opportunity, you need to be ready to give. And you need to be willing to share. You need to be willing to help others. When you hear somebody going through something, you need to be the first one to go to them and say, look here, give me a call. I'll talk with you. Why? Because you're rich. You got an abundance. God will bless you to be a blessing. Storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come. That is your future. In other words, God said, when you do it this way, your money is going to be able to be a blessing even in your future. And it's going to be a blessing when you get to eternity. Living in the arena of overflow means there is a danger and a duty with money. We must be alert to this reality. Money and materialism can be deceptive, disciplined, destructive, and a delight when we honor God by living in the arena of Jesus' teaching, godliness, contentment, and giving to his work and others for the glory of God. Saints, I want you to embrace what Paul is saying to the church, because money is not evil. It's how people use it determines whether it becomes used in an evil way. When we talk about division and doing things and expansion and going out getting the harvest, how do you know it takes resources to do that? But what we have to understand is when we make the gospel a greed gospel, when we teach in our pulpits that money and riches are signs of spiritual gain and all that, we are teaching false doctrine. For instance, I'll give you a good example. I had a guy one time, this years ago, he came to minister and he took up an offering. And the way he took up that offering, in my spirit, I was totally uncomfortable. People responded, but I was totally uncomfortable. So in the back, I let him know I was totally uncomfortable the way you did that. He said, well, look how the Lord blessed. I said, no. I felt like people were manipulated. See, when you get under that seducing spirit, you got to have discernment. And I caught that. And I said, nah, this seemed like manipulation. Because they'll work that thing, and you had no intention from your heart to do something. Then all of a sudden you start doing something. Not because you felt the anointing, but because they kept teaching and saying stuff. And then most of the time, it's inspired by this, what you're going to get.
This concludes our time for this week's message from the Word Alive Radio Broadcast Ministry, an outreach ministry of Kingdom Builders Christian Center, a place of love, unity, and pure worship, where Norman E. Curley is pastor. To obtain a copy of today's message, please let us know the date and time of the broadcast and forward that information to Kingdom Builders Christian Center, P.O. Box 9206, Columbia, South Carolina, 29290. Please include $7 for each CD request to cover the cost of shipping. Each Sunday, join the KBCC family for morning worship services at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evening worship services at 7 p.m. Children and youth ministries are available. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 803-695-1277 or visit us on the web at kingdom-builders.com. Have a blessed week and join us next Sunday for The Word Alive.